I have returned from vacation. There's been a lot of stuff that's went on since I've been gone. Let's get right into it, man. Today's episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast.
You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
What's the deal? Welcome back to another episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast. Per usual, I'm your host, Coop Cahill. You can find me over on Twitter at Coop Cahill. I want to thank you guys for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. Today's episode, though, is brought to you guys by BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline, where the game starts. So I'm back, guys, for my vacation. Back from Jamaica, finally, man. It was taking a little while, man. I'm married. It was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. I know a lot of you guys have already asked me to tell you guys a little bit about what happened, why I was delayed today. I'll tell you guys about that at the end of the podcast. But I'm just excited to talk about the Detroit Pistons. I was able to watch the first preseason game because Megan was feeling pretty tired after dinner. Said we could go back to the room, lay down, and I could watch the game. So I went back, you know, chill, was able to watch the game. There's been a lot of stuff that's happened. I can't wait to talk about it. I've been so excited to come back and talk with you guys about the Pistons and what's went on. So, you know, let's just get right into it, man. Enough with the introduction. Let's just get right into it. So the Pistons played their first preseason game while I was gone. And by the way, I hope you guys enjoyed the episodes that I had scheduled out while I was gone. And also, next episode, I will be shouting out everybody who did get the starting lineup right. Just this one right here. I'm just really excited to get back. I want to get this episode out there before this next preseason game comes out. But next episode, I will shout out all of you guys who did get the starting lineup right. But yeah, the Pistons played their first preseason game. They lost to the New York Knicks by a hefty margin. They were down by 30-plus at a certain point. Yeah, it wasn't a good game when you're looking at it that way. It wasn't, you know, in totality, it wasn't a great game at all. But there was definitely a few really bright spots from this game that I enjoyed watching. I think you can actually take away as a Pistons fan. And the first one is definitely Jaden Ivey. I thought Jaden Ivey looked way better than I thought he would look in his first semi, not really, but kind of professional debut. I want to hammer in, though, that it is preseason. It's not regular season. Things change in regular season. Preseason, some of the things you see in preseason, all of a sudden maybe flip just like that in regular season. So I'm going to try not to overreact too much to anything we saw. But Jaden Ivey, I'd be lying if I said he wasn't extremely impressive. I think everybody thought he was extremely impressive. I thought that you'd see him struggle a little bit in the half court initially, and you probably will likely see that once the regular season comes around. But in this first preseason game, I thought what stood out the most with Jaden Ivey is, one, his confidence and his swag on the court. Like, this dude walked into just like a pull-up three, in like semi-transition, just nonchalant, pulled up with it. He was aggressive getting into the basket. He was aggressive on the defensive end. He walks around, plays with that kind of level of swag that I feel like this team kind of lacks. Cade plays with it a little bit. But Jaden Ivey, with his burst and his athleticism, combine that with that swag, I think it really brings a different kind of attitude to the Pistons that they kind of been lacking. So I feel like that right there, just his personality, was just vibing off the court instantly. His first step, wild. His first step's crazy. Now, this is something that I think, whether it was preseason, pickup, shoot around, whatever, that kind of thing translates, your first step. And we talked about it a little bit on the podcast throughout the offseason. I'm going to talk about it again now. I think Jaden Ivey might lead the league in like fouls picked up on like defenders trying to beat them to the spot. Not shooting fouls, not reaching fouls, but when guys are trying to shuffle their feet to beat him to his spot and he gets bumped off of it. You guys know that foul that happens a lot. I think he might draw the most fouls in that way in the entire NBA because his first step is so lethal and so explosive. I don't see how anyone's going to be able to beat him to his spot regularly without following him. I don't see how it happens. And he was already drawing a lot of fouls with that in this first preseason game. It's hard. His first step is one of the best in the entire NBA. He just explodes straight to the rim And he knows, and he's not one of those guys who has that quick first step, but isn't, can't really, you know, finish it off at the rim. He's just as explosive at the rim as he is with his first step. He'll finish it off with a lights out dunk. So Jane Ivey, man, I thought he looked absolutely fantastic in this game. And again, the Pistons did lose by damn near 30. Like they were down by 30 plus at a certain point. It was a really, really, really bad game in totality for this team. I feel like a lot of the players just didn't seem into it. They weren't prepared. I don't know what it was. It was a tough watch. It was really bad. But Jane Ivey, 6 of 9 from the floor, had 16 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, drew 3 free throw attempts. I just thought Jane Ivey was the biggest bright spot from this game by far for the Detroit Pistons. Outside of that, though, basically everything else, it's like we're going to have to talk about some negatives, and we're going to have to talk about some things that can't happen and some things that through one preseason game we should already know shouldn't happen. There's a few things I think already you can talk about with that. The one other positive is I thought Killian Hayes' confidence, if his mentality has actually changed, and it showed, I told you guys before I left, in his presser, he seemed like a different dude. With the answers he was given, how descriptive, how insightful, how cocky it felt like he was talking, it felt like a different dude. And this first preseason game, he looked like a different dude mentality-wise. His first shot of the game, he shot off the side of the backboard. Now, some people are saying that he got blocked. The quality of the stream I was watching was so bad, I couldn't tell. But the shot went off the side of the backboard from the corner. I thought it was over after that. He went on to shoot 11 more times, shot 5 of 11 from the floor, remained aggressive, used his body on drives that I've never seen him use before. He looked like a different guy out there. If that kind of thing stays throughout the season, you're going to see a really good year from Killian Hayes. I think you're definitely going to see it. So that's the other positive from the game, is that it looks like Killian Hayes' mentality through one preseason game, what we heard about him throughout the offseason, what he described, what some of his teammates described, coaching described, in the press conferences, on media day, practices, all that, and the clips that we saw on the open scrimmage, all this was backed up in that first preseason game. I can't wait to see it throughout the preseason and regular season. But, yeah, if that mentality is for real change, you're going to see a really good year from him. But those two things are basically the only things that, like, I feel like you can take away from the first preseason game that's, like, really good. And really, in one preseason game where it looks like that the rest of the team really just didn't even care, either that or they just played piss poor, not on purpose, obviously, but just weren't ready, needed to knock off some rust. I don't know how much you can actually take away at all. But if you were to, you want to find some two positives, I think those two things right there are the biggest positives you can find from this first preseason game. But there are some other things I want to talk about. They're not necessarily positives, and they're not necessarily negatives, I guess, but I think there are takeaways that you can see already through one preseason game that need to be changed, and you should see changed in the regular season. I think that's good. So I don't think it's necessarily a negative. I think it's a good thing to see this already and be able to be prepared for it when the regular season comes around for it. You'll hear what I'm talking about when we come back from the ad break. But first, I got to tell you guys about one of our sponsors, BetOnline.net. BetOnline.net is your number one source for your football betting needs and basketball coming around the corner info this season. Find all the latest player developments, team matchups, news, podcasts, in-depth articles, and analysis on every game that you need. And as always, BetOnline remains your continued source for all your sport wagering information with live betting and up-to-the-minute scores for every sport that's out there. The fastest and easiest way to check on all your favorite games and events, including MLB, MMA, boxing, golf, basketball, NFL, anything you can think of, you can find it over at BetOnline.net. So head to BetOnline.net or use your mobile device to learn more about their trends in action today. You can get a head start on who you think is going to win the championship, sixth man of the year, MVP, who you think is going to get the first overall pick next year, which, by the way, is going to be an absolutely heated race. If you guys haven't seen how Victor Wembanyama has looked, that might be the greatest prospect we've ever seen. It's going to be crazy tanks this year. You can get a head start in that. Take your chances with all that at BetOnline.net or use your mobile device to learn more about their trends in action today. BetOnline, where the game starts. So I want to thank you guys again for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. And if you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons, hit that subscribe button, or leave us a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you are listening to this on. All right, so how should I say this? The first preseason game and preseason usually and just overall, you don't want to take too many takeaways from it because it's preseason. It's not real basketball. I mean, it's real basketball, but it doesn't count. And we've seen players play well in preseason and then it just doesn't turn around in the regular season. We've seen it happen. That doesn't mean that you can't take anything away. And I believe you can take some stuff away. It just depends what kind of stuff you're looking for. And I feel like through one preseason game, in a game where the Pistons got absolutely destroyed by the New York Knicks, you got something to take away instantly. And like I said in the first segment, it's not necessarily a positive, not necessarily a negative either. But you know what? Let me just go ahead and say what it is. The Pistons have a front court issue with their rotation. And we've kind of talked about it a lot throughout the off season, but really it splashed out at you when watching the first preseason game. It was so noticeable that it almost made it hard to watch for me. And I know a lot of you guys felt the same way. I do not want to be in Dwayne Casey's position in his shoes here because I don't know how it's going to be tough. It's going to be hard to figure out exactly how to appease everybody and put the best lineup out there that makes the most sense. That also makes the most sense for certain players' development, like putting all those things together. It's going to be tough. We saw, first off, Isaiah Stewart start this game. The starters, mind you, let me just read this so you guys get an idea of what I'm talking about here. The bench lineup. This is some of their plus minuses, okay? And then like a 30-point loss, 20-point loss. -5 for Isaiah Livers. -1 for Killian Hayes. -2 for Marvin Bagley. -2 for Corey Joseph. -1 for Jalen Duren. Okay? All those guys besides Corey Joseph played 20-plus minutes in this game. You look at that and you say, how did they get blown out? Well, let's go look at the starters. They were -21, Sadiq Bey. -23, Bojan. -23, Isaiah Stewart. -21, Cade. -24, Jaden. Why was that? Now, there was many reasons for it. The main reason I would say probably was just because the Knicks are better and they just destroyed them. They just let them know that they were better. The other thing was, obviously, some guys were knocking off some rest. Sadiq Bey shot 1 of 8 from the floor. I hope that streakiness that we saw so far through his career kind of goes away this year. But after the first preseason game, he obviously had some rust to knock off. Cade had a really bad game, 3 of 12. That had a lot to do with it as well. But another thing that had to do with it was I feel like Isaiah Stewart being in this starting lineup. And I've said for the longest time that Cade Cunningham and Jaden Ivey now, they need a lob threat in this starting lineup. And you know what? I maybe should stop just saying lob threat because it's not just lob threat. It's really someone who can put pressure on the basketball rim. At your center position, you can't have a guy and through one preseason game it looked like last year. Now, if all of a sudden it flips, then okay. But it looked the same as the first preseason game. I don't think it's going to change much because he still has the same height limitations. He's not going to be super athletic. It's just I feel like this is just who Stu is. You need someone who can put pressure on the rim, who can finish around the rim, who can roll to the basket and be a threat rolling to the rim so you can draw some gravity with the defense, force guys to help down so you can have kickouts, open up driving lanes with his gravity rolling to the rim. You need someone who can put pressure on the basketball rim at the center position. And Isaiah Stewart just can't do that. He just can't. So it hurts their offense. It hurts them in the half court. I will say he's nice with the highway screens. He does have some things offensively in the half court that he's starting to pick up on ways he can contribute. Highway screens are one of them. You can't do a highway screen every single time, but when he does, he's pretty good at it. But I feel like that the lack of rim pressure was very noticeable from the jump with the starting lineup. The second thing that kind of makes Isaiah Stewart useless in the starting lineup, at least in my opinion, is that you have him out there because he's supposed to bring like the defense. He's supposed to be the one, okay, we need him to kind of anchor our defense and make sure it's not awful. Well, the problem with that is you're starting Stu with possibly your two worst defenders on the team in Bojan and Sadiq Bey. So there's no amount that Isaiah Stewart, no matter how good defensively he was, unless he's Rudy Gobert, Ben Wallace-like, which he isn't, he's not that generational defender. He's nowhere near a generational defender. There's nothing, you're basically setting Stu up for failure on the defensive end. There's no way that he's going to be able to make up for all those defensive flaws. So you're having him in there for the defense, but he's not going to be able to make up for the defensive flaws, and he's not going to be able to put pressure on the rim. I feel like that takeaway was instant in this first preseason game, whether it's preseason, shoot around, pickup, I don't care. I feel like that was like one of those things that jumped out at you instantly. The next thing that jumped out at you instantly is also staying in the front court, which kind of makes this a tricky situation. Do you continue starting Stu? Do you start Bagley? Do you start Duren, Noel? This adds on to the confusion that the bench lineup, their front court was Marvin Bagley and Jalen Duren. And I don't know how the bench didn't get obliterated. Maybe because the other team or the Knicks bench wasn't that great either. But, like, I counted twice in the first half, guys. Twice. Now, it maybe happened one more time or something, but I counted twice where the Pistons were able to touch the paint on a dribble drive with those two guys out there. Because the spacing was so horrifically bad with those two guys out there, it was impossible for any driving lane to be open. Zero. I don't care if you had LeBron. The driving lanes were non-existent. Because with Jalen Duren and Marvin Bagley, and I'll say this right now, I was one of the people, you guys remember on the podcast, I said that I thought maybe a Jalen Duren and Marvin Bagley lineup or front court could be interesting. I want to see it. Well, in preseason, just the amount of minutes we saw in preseason, that was enough for me. I know it can't work. There's no way. Because the spacing's just awful. You have Marvin Bagley's guy sitting in the paint, whether he's in the corner, and most of the time he wasn't spotting up in the corner. He was kind of hanging around in the short corner, kind of on the block as Jalen Duren rolled to the rim. So you have like four players inside the paint. Guys who are running pick and roll, mostly Killian Hayes with this backup unit, had no driving lanes to get all the way to the basket. It just wasn't going to happen. In the limited minutes the other guards played with it, it wasn't happening either. That lineup cannot, that front court can't happen. It can't. The spacing, you're setting your players up to fail. The spacing was just so horrifically bad. It was mind-numbing. It was hard to watch, for real. It really was. And I don't know how... I have an opinion about how they can fix it. And the simple solution to me, at least in the short term right now, is to just start Marvin Bagley at the five, go all offense. You got your person who's going to put pressure on the rim. You don't have to worry about Bagley being used incorrectly, spotting up in the corner, weighing around in the short corner, figuring out what to do, and blah, blah. You got him just rolling to the basket, finishing alley-oops, dump-offs, bounce passes around the rim, dunking on guys. You got him doing his thing with four guys around him who can score, who can shoot the basketball, get to the rim, etc. Just go full-fledged offense and sacrifice in the defensive end, because if you're starting Bojan and Sadiq, I don't think it doesn't matter who you start. Center, your defense is going to suck either way if you start both of those guys at your 3 and 4. So I think you just go full offense with Bagley and then bring Stu off the bench as the 4. Because if Stu actually is an improved shooter, which is what everyone's believing, what we have to assume right now, because that's really the Pistons' only hope with this. If Stu actually is an improved shooter, and by the way, he did hit 1-3 in this first preseason game. He shot 1 of 3. If he is, have him play the backup 4 with this lineup. Run Killian, Burks, Liver, Stu, and Duren. You have good spacing around Killian Hayes in the pick and roll. You have his lob threat and the guy who can put pressure on the rim and dunk around the rim in Jalen Duren. And if Isaiah Stewart is an improved shooter, he can help space the floor too. The spacing will be nice. It will be satisfactory. It'll be okay. You can try to get away with it, especially if Stu actually is hitting. You can get away with it. That lineup of Bagley Duren, you're not getting away with it. It was painful to watch. Guys couldn't get to the rim. It was bad. So Dwayne Casey has his work cut out for him. I don't know what he's going to do with this front court lineup. Again, it's preseason. I'm not overreacting. I said this on Twitter after the game in the little time I had to, you know, recap a little bit on Twitter. This isn't just about, like, preseason. I'm like, it's not so much that I'm basing it off of preseason. We talked about this throughout the offseason. And then in the immediate first time we saw it, it looked exactly like how we all were concerned it was going to look. That right there was enough for me. It was just enough. Spacing doesn't change. Whether it's preseason, regular season, spacing's not going to change. Guys aren't going to all of a sudden in the regular season say, oh, let's guard Marvin Bagley at the three-point line. Oh, like that's not going to happen. So this is something that's going to translate. And they can't run that lineup. And this is assuming Nerlens Noel doesn't play. Who's hurt? What happens if he's healthy? How do you make it work then? Like, Dwayne Casey has his work cut out for him. I have no clue how he's going to do it. There's some other rotational stuff that we're going to talk about in a future episode, probably the next one. But just to give you guys a little hint of what it's going to be about, he also has to figure out how to stagger the minutes of Killian, Jaden, and Cade. Like, I think I don't want to dive too much into this because it's going to be a whole episode itself that I want to talk about it with. But I think you're going to have to try to find a way to stagger Cade and Jaden because you want to get them their own time away from each other. But you also want Killian to have the ball in his hands when he runs the bench lineup. You want him to be able to run his pick and rolls and set people up and score and or attempt to score, be aggressive and stuff. So he has to try to find a way to stagger that those guys while also trying to find the best front court lineup to go along with those guys that put them in the best position to succeed while also worrying about the development of those big guys. Like, it's going to be – it's tough. It's going to be a tough thing to do. I think it's going to be constantly changing throughout the year. And Dwayne Casey is going to have to be creative. Listen, that's a word I've never used to describe Dwayne Casey. I don't think it's ever been used to describe Dwayne Casey. So – I guess we're just going to have to hope. But he's going to have to get creative, not only with the rotations, with the lineups, but also with the sets, play style, offensive system that he runs with certain guys out there. It's going to have to be creative. He's going to have to find ways to get creative with it. We'll see how it looks. I'm interested to see what they do throughout the rest of the preseason. Kind of, they're definitely going to like try to throw stuff at the wall and see what sticks. This is the time to do it. They're going to test out a bunch of stuff. I just hope that, like, I feel like for just about anybody – even before preseason, it was basically everyone knew. But even after the first preseason game, I hope that was enough testing to know, hey, Marvin Bagley and Jalen Duren can't be a front court lineup we play together. It's just not going to work. It's not going to happen. And I hope in the next game we see multiple different guys start at the five. Maybe next game Bagley. The game after that, Duren. Maybe we see all kinds of different stuff at the five. Heck, maybe we even see someone start at the four different besides Bojan or Sadiq. Just try some things. See what looks best, what works the best. And you know, we'll have some answers going into the regular season. But it's going to be tough, man. It's going to be tough. When we come back, talk about a little bit some of the other stuff I missed out on while I was gone on vacation. I'll also tell you guys about how my wedding and my marriage went when we got back or while we were down there when we come back from the ad break. But first, you guys got to hear from those lovely sponsors. So I want to thank you guys again for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. If you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons, hit that subscribe button, or leave a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you are listening to this on. That's another great way to support the podcast. So, the open scrimmage happened, and I don't feel like you really have to talk about that at all because it basically was a practice, and we've had a preseason game since then. So that kind of goes out the window. It's not really main news anymore now. So there's not much to talk about there. I had a lot of fun seeing all the clips from Killian Hayes balling out there. You guys know that was a great wedding gift for me from all you guys sending me those clips. That was fun to see, but that's not too much of a big deal anymore. Basically, I can't really say anything else but the rotation is what I'm really interested in. That right there is the key question for the rest of the preseason. What is going to be the answer with the front court? And I kind of hinted at it at the end of the last segment. Do you even test out benching Bojan or Sadiq and try running two bigs, Isaiah Stewart Bagley? Like, they got to figure out something because I'm worried. You guys know I didn't go full-fledged out with this throughout the offseason, but I was kind of dropping hints of it. I was already petrified about how the half court offense was going to work with the front court that they had assembled. With Bojan, it helps a ton. Bojan helps a ton, which is why I think he has to start. He cannot come off the bench for me. He has to start because he helps the half court so much. But even still, I'm interested and I'm quite concerned about the front court and about the construction of it and how it's going to be able to work. Because if Stu is not actually improved from outside, if he's not actually going to be somewhat of a stretch four, if he's not that, you are screwed. They are utterly screwed in this front court because he's the only one that has a chance of shooting from outside and providing spacing. And if he can't, no one else will. You're not going to get spacing from any of these guys, and your front court is going to basically destroy your young ball handlers because they're going to have nowhere to go and no paint to get to. It's going to be tough. So basically, we need to be praying that Isaiah Stewart actually is going to be a stretch four this year, actually has improved, and actually is going to be confident letting that three ball rip. And again, for what it's worth, in his first game, three of his four shots were threes. So maybe he only made one of them. It's a preseason game, incredibly small sample size. But I thought it was nice to see him get three threes up. And he took them all very confidently. So I was very happy to see that. Hopefully it translates to some makes. But yeah, man, the front court's going to be incredibly interesting to watch. All right. I know some of you guys were asking me, some of you guys were commenting on YouTube, tweeting at me, DMing me. Tell us about how your wedding went. The wedding went amazing. We got married down in Jamaica. If you guys missed somehow the last few podcasts, we got married down in Jamaica. We stayed down there for a week. It was amazing. I loved it. The resort was amazing. We had a lot of fun. Some of our family was able to get down there. It was a lot of fun, enjoying that time with our family, obviously getting married. It ended up raining down there, so we ended up having to move it all inside, which my fiance – so one of you guys told me that I was accidentally going to call her my fiance again. And you guys were right, first episode. I didn't think I would do it, but first episode I did it. My wife was not very happy about that. But yeah, we had a lot of fun, man. We had a lot of fun. It was an incredible experience being out of the country for the first time, at least for me. Yeah, man, it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of cool stuff going on in the resort. People in Jamaica drive psychotically. I felt like I was in a GTA simulator the entire time. It is crazy how they drive. They drive on the opposite side of the roads, and they basically play like a game of chicken. Who's going to get out my way first? And then one car eventually moves out. It was crazy. And then the reason why this episode is coming a day late, I came home a day late, is because once we got on our flight, the plane wasn't working. Then when they got the plane to work, the pilot got timed out. So we ended up having our flight canceled, had to go back, stay in a crappy hotel and wait for the next day. So the last 48 hours before recording this has been really tough on me and my wife. We're very tired, very, very tired, very exhausted with travel. Just happy to be home. I'm happy I was able to record a podcast. I've been itching to get back and talk Pistons with you guys. So happy I was able to get this out as soon as possible, man. I can't wait to watch tomorrow's game for the versus the Pelicans. Now, it says that this game will not be on Bally Sports. I know I've seen some conflicting things about that, but on the ESPN app and on NBA.com, it does not say it's going to be on Bally Sports. Some of you guys have said that you can watch on League Pass, but I'm pretty sure with League Pass, if it's your home team, you can't watch. It gets blacked out, I thought. But I know that it's going to be on the Pelicans, and I don't have League Pass. I've never used League Pass, so maybe I'm completely off with that, but I thought that's how it goes. But I know the Pelicans broadcast, it says the Pelicans broadcast will be airing it. So if you can find a way to watch this game through the Pelicans broadcast, that's another way you can do it for tomorrow's game. The game after that, though, I believe on Thursday, is being broadcasted on Bally Sports Detroit. So that's going to be the next run on Bally Sports Detroit. At least that's what it says on the ESPN app. Who knows? Because I know initially when they released the schedule, the PR team, it said only the first game was Bally Sports. Now it looks like it's just very conflicting. I think the next week on Thursday, at least NBA.com says that's the next Bally Sports one. Today, when you guys are listening to this on Friday, Pelicans broadcast is airing this game. Find a way to watch it. And maybe League Pass will help you guys out. But had a lot of fun recording this podcast, man. Missed y'all. Missed talking about the Pistons. So excited to get back into it. Another year, another fun year upcoming. Let's get into it, man. First podcast of the new year, man. Let's get into it. I'll see you guys in the next one. Stay safe, everybody. Thank you for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you're listening to this on. I'm going to go hit the hay, man. I'm very tired. I'll see you guys later. Peace out, everybody. Stay safe and go Pistons.